And here in this passage, this is where we'll begin today. And the wonderful thing about the Old and New Testament is that it chronicles not only important facts and times in biblical history, but it talks about real people. Real people just like you, just like me. I can assure you that none of these people walked around with halos above their heads. None of them walked 6 inches off the ground, but they were real people, just like you and just like me. And today we're going to look at two women and show you how they took God's word and were able to turn around some impossible situations and receive from God. We'll begin in 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning with verse 8. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. And so it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat and have a meal. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand, so it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." And it happened one day that he came there and turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call the Shunammite woman." And when he called her, she stood before him. And he said, "Say now to her, 'Look, you've been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?'" She answered, "I dwell among my own people." So he said, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Actually, she has no son, and her husband is old." And so Elisha said to him, "Call her." And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And he said, "About this time next year, you shall embrace a son." And she said, "No, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant." But the woman conceived and bore a son. And when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her, and the child grew. Now, here is an instance where a woman had shown kindness to Elisha the prophet. And Elisha, as his habit was, would regularly pass through Shunem and minister there. And so one day she and her husband invited him to their home for a meal. And he did that on a regular basis. And so she eventually said to her husband, "Look, why don't we build a little room in our home where he can go and retire so he doesn't have to eat and then just continue that journey back home?" And so they did. Built a room on the wall that had a bed, candle, lampstand. Now, here's something that I want you to see about this woman. She was obviously a woman of note. One translation refers to her as a wealthy woman. But she was concerned about the things of God, and she was concerned about God's messenger and wanted to show kindness and do something for him. Excuse me. And so obviously, she and her husband discussed it, and they decided to add an addition to their home just for the prophet Elisha when he passed through. And so it's just the nature of God. There is a principle called the law of reciprocity, and it simply goes like this: give and it shall be given unto you. And it doesn't just mean dollars, but here they were giving of their money, their home, their time for God and the things of God. God always responds in kind. And I love the way he does things. Elisha called her to the room and said, "What would you like me to do for you? Talk to the king?" "No, I'm fine, just like I am." And so she left, and Elisha says to Gehazi, "What could we do for this woman?" That's when Gehazi said, "Look, she doesn't have a son, and her husband is old." And so he calls her back to the doorway and says, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. Now, you lose a little bit in the Hebrew translation when she said, don't lie to my handmaid. If you wanted to translate that in our modern vernacular, it would sound something like this. Look, don't mess with me, okay? Very sensitive area. Don't tell me something that's not going to come to pass. Well, it did come to pass. And years later, after this boy had grown up a little bit, he went out into the fields at harvest time with his father, and they were reaping the harvest, and the boy had a sunstroke. Complained to his father about a severe headache, and he sent him home. And so when he went to the house and he laid in his mother's arms, he died. Now, here's something that I want you to see. Even though this woman was well-intentioned, even though this woman was concerned about the things of God, even though this woman had been blessed by the Lord to have a son, when she hadn't obviously been able to have one before, something bad happened. You know, there are times bad things happen to good people. Amen? And it's not the bad that happens that defines us or should not be, but rather how we respond. That's why we take the time to teach about real people, real faith, because we live in a real world. One of the things that Marcel Joseph and I were talking about in the second broadcast was about how, you know, redemption is something that totally changes a person. Instantaneously in your spirit, you're made new, you're born again. When Jesus returns, instantaneously your body will be changed and will have a new body. But in the interim, you know, we often put things off many times to the sweet by and by. But what about now, in the interim? I heard John Osteen say years ago, thank God for the sweet by and by, but we live in the nasty here and now. Well, God has made provision for the nasty here and now. And so this woman did something that was a little unusual. She took her son, went up to Elisha's chamber, laid her son's body on his bed. And then she sent one of the employees to find her husband, send me a young man to take me to town. And so he did and asked, you know, why are you going to see the prophet today? You know, there's no services today, no meeting scheduled. She said, it's well. Shalom is what she said. So the servant saddled an ass, got the chariot ready, and she said, don't you stop, don't you slow down unless I tell you to. And so I'm sort of condensing the story for you. And so as she approached Elisha's home, Elisha saw her from a distance and said to Gehazi, his helper, his minister of helps, here comes that Shunammite woman. I want you to ask her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? He did. She responded, all is well. And then she came before Elisha and fell down and grabbed him by the foot. And he knew on the inside of him that something had happened and the Lord hadn't revealed it to him. And so he told Gehazi, I want you to go to her home and lay my staff upon that child. And then she said something to Elisha that we often glean over. She grabbed him by the foot and said, as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. Familiar phrase. She'd heard those words before. And then Elisha headed to the house. And we know the story. He laid himself upon that child. His flesh became warm. He sneezed 7 times. And she presented him alive back to his mother. Now, I want to explore this a little deeper, and I want to show you something. Why did she do what she did? She could have said, oh, well, I had him for 7, 8 years. God blessed me with that. We may as well bury it. But that's not what she did. She wanted more. Are you with me? Now, here's what I want you to see. She went up to his room and laid that boy, his body, on Elisha's bed. Why did she do that? She remembered a similar situation that happened some 16 to 20 years before, when Elijah the prophet went to a little town called Zarephath, and there God had commanded a widow to sustain him. Remember the story? He comes to the gate of the city, and she was gathering sticks to make a fire to prepare one last meal. And Elijah comes in and says, "Give me something to drink, and would you bake me a little cake?" And she said, "Sir, we only have enough oil and enough meal to make one last meal. We're going to eat it, and then we're going to die." And he said, "Well, make me a little cake first." And she did. And then Elijah the prophet said to her, "The meal will never fail and the oil will never run dry." And it didn't. And she was able to continually prepare meals from that oil and that flour that she had left. Then, several years later, her son died. And that woman, the widow from Zarephath, took her son, laid his body on Elijah's bed, and went to Elijah and said, "Why have you come to me? Have you come to bring to remembrance my sin to me?" And Elijah, to make a long story short, brought that boy back from the dead and presented him alive to his mother. Now, in all of recorded history, it had never been recorded that somebody had raised someone else from the dead up to that point. Elijah raised that boy from the dead. That was a first. You with me? Now, Jesus did it in his ministry on several occasions. Others have done it. But that was the first time. Now, let's fast forward some 16 to 20 years. The Shunammite woman, her son expires. Why did she do what the widow from Zarephath did? Well, for several reasons. Number one, she heard that story. Elisha had preached it many times. Now, Elisha wasn't there, but Elijah had preached it many times. And he had shared it with Elisha. And so he, in turn, taught that, preached that, when he ministered. Here's the thing I want you to see. Faith comes by hearing. She'd heard that story. Number two, we shared in previous lessons, faith is a law. That means it's a principle that governs. God is no respecter of persons. Here's what she understood. If God did that for that widow woman in Zarephath 16 to 20 years ago, He'll do it for me today. Here's what you need to glean from the story. What God did for others that you find in the pages of this book, He'll do for you. He's no respecter of persons. And so she had faith. She heard what Elijah had done. And so she did the same thing that the widow woman did. Well, I have news for you. If you'll do the same thing that these people that we talk about in the Scripture did, God will do the same thing for you. Amen. He's no respecter of persons. Amen. So she said, "All is well," when all, from a natural standpoint, was not well. Let me ask you a question. Did this woman lie to her husband when he said, "Is there anything wrong?" She said, "All is well." Did she lie to Gehazi when he, on behalf of Elisha, said, "Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?" She said, "It is well." Did she lie? No, her faith was talking. Her faith was talking. And then she grabbed Elisha by the foot and said, as long as God lives, as long as you live, I will not leave you. Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? That's the same thing that Elisha said to Elijah just before he was taken up by a whirlwind. Time and time again, Elijah would say, hey, the Lord send me to the next town. Why don't you hang here? He said, as long as God lives, as long as you live, I will not leave you. There's something about faith that just won't let go. There's something about faith that just won't quit. There's something about faith that sticks to it come hell or high water. You'll have many opportunities to be discouraged, to turn around, to give up, and to quit. You need to be just as persistent as she was. In essence, she was saying to Elisha, God blessed me with a son through you, and I'm not letting go of that blessing. What God did for that woman 16 years ago in Zarephath, He's going to do for me today. And I'm not letting go until. Amen. Amen? And so her son was raised from the dead. So what can we learn from this lesson? Well, we've already learned in previous lessons, number one, faith is a law. It's a principle that governs. Faith doesn't care who your mama was. Faith doesn't care what color you are. Faith doesn't care how much education you have. Faith will work for you. Amen. Number two, faith is the door. It's the entrance. It's the portal. The only way to receive the blessing that Jesus paid for in redemption is faith. Amen. You can't earn it. You can't punish yourself enough for it. You know, I often see these, you know, different religions. They have different practices in trying to attain quote-unquote righteousness or great standing. Some of them will beat themselves till they bleed. You can't beat yourself enough to earn favor with God. Jesus paid the price. All we can do is trust in what He did. Faith. We saw last week with the blind man sitting outside Jericho. Faith gets God's attention. Amen. He always responds to faith. And we saw last week that need doesn't move God. This man was blind. Jesus walked right by him. Remember we talked about the blind man or the lame man at the gate called Beautiful? Had been there every day for decades. Jesus walked through that gate. But it just so happens on one day when Peter and John went through, he received his healing. Amen? Need doesn't move God. But faith does. Now, let's look at another woman. Let's take this a step further. Turn with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Mark 5. And this is a very familiar story to most of us. Mark chapter 5. Now in this record, especially in the Gospel of Mark, you see several different things running concurrently. Jesus had just delivered the demon-possessed guy in the land of the Gadarenes. They ask him to leave. He heads across the shore. When he gets out of the boat, the ruler of the synagogue named Jairus falls at his feet and said, please come lay your hands on my daughter that she may be healed and she'll live. And so Jesus and a large group of people are headed to Jairus' home. And we'll pick up the story in verse 25. Mark chapter 4. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. And she'd spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Now, notice that she heard something. Remember, we established before that faith comes by hearing. The Shunammite woman heard the story about the widow from Zarephath. Faith came by hearing. This woman heard something about Jesus that motivated her to go out into that crowd when the Levitical law said she should stay home. You know, the Levitical law says that if a woman has an issue of blood, she's not to be in public or in contact with people. If she is found to be in public or in contact with people, she can be stoned by the ruler of the synagogue. Guess who was leading that procession? Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. But she heard something. Now, let's talk about what did she hear? What did she hear? Well, maybe she heard that Jesus was anointed by the Spirit of God to heal. Maybe she heard that people had touched him and were healed. The Bible says in the Gospel of Luke that on several occasions, Jesus went out and people sought to touch him, for there went virtue or power out of him and healed them all. Or perhaps she had heard what Malachi chapter 4, verse 2 says, that to them that fear his name, the Son of Righteousness would arise with healing in his wings. Now, Jesus probably had on that day a garment that looks like this, a covering, a prayer shawl. It's called the tallit. And this is, and even today, some Orthodox Jews still use this as their prayer shawl, and when they pray, they just cover it up, cover up their faces like this, and pray. And the tassels represent the law and the commandments, and every time they would pray, they would go from knot to knot, and, you know, this is just a replica, this isn't the real deal, but it sort of looks like it. But if you notice, Malachi 4:2, to them that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. It almost looks like wings when you open it up. And most Bible scholars believe that Jesus wore this, and this woman came and made her way to him in the crowd and touched one of the threads or the knots or the zit-zit. That's literally what it's called. Well, the Bible says that power went out of him into her, and immediately she was healed and felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And the scripture says Jesus stopped and turned around to his disciples and said, who touched me? And they said, Master, you see the multitude thronging you. What do you mean, who touched me? In other words, many people were touching him at the same time. Now, the word crowd or the multitude there is a word, sunthlebo. And it literally means to be pressed on every side. And it paints a picture of somebody who's in the midst of a crowd that is so large and so pressing that if they were to stop, the crowd would carry them along anyway. But Jesus made them stop and said, who touched me? The disciples said, Master, you see the crowd thronging you. What do you mean, who touched me? In other words, a lot of people are touching you. But what was different about this woman? She touched him with faith. And that faith pulled that virtue, Greek word dunamis, out of his clothes into her and healed her instantly. It was her faith that made the difference. So we can see a couple things in operation here. Number one, she heard of Jesus. Faith comes how? By hearing. And she acted on that faith, came out in the press, and touched the hem of his garment. Let's go back to the story in Mark chapter 5, verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But the disciple said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." This woman, a woman just like us, heard of Jesus, made a decision that she was going to touch the hem of his garment. And the scripture says, "For she said," literally she was saying, she said it more than once, "If I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole." And she went out in that crowd, in spite of the hype, the ruler of the synagogue being out there, was able to get through there and touch the hem of his garment, and the anointing flowed out of Jesus into her, healed her instantly. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." Now, we know that God is no respecter of persons. We know that faith will work for anybody. So if her faith would make her whole, your faith will make you whole. I said, if her faith would make her whole, your faith will make you whole. Now, here's all you have to do. If you want what she had, just do what she did. You with me? If you want what she had, just do what she did. See, that's the other thing about the scripture. The scripture gives us roadmaps so that we can follow them. In fact, the Bible says that in Hebrews chapter 6. Be followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The word followers is the Greek word memetes. It means to copy the actions, mannerisms, patterns of speech, and to mimic. In other words, if you'll do what they did, say what they said, you'll have what they had. I'll say that again. If you'll do what they did and say what they said, you'll have what they had. Amen? Two principles can be found here. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And the second one is this: faith is released with words. Faith is released with words. Now, turn with me to Mark chapter 11. I just want to dig into this a little bit and share something with you. I've read these verses for decades. And about 2 years ago, I was reading Mark chapter 11 and something just jumped out at me. And I've shared it before, but I'll share it again. It bears repetition. Mark chapter 11. And we all know the story. Jesus spoke to a fig tree. Remember that? Let's look at verse 12. "Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to it to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it's not the season for figs." In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you hereafter ever again." And his disciples heard it. Now the King James Version says, "Jesus answered and said to it." But here in the New King James, it says, "in response." Now, I was reading out of the King James Version, and I read these verses hundreds of times. And that phrase jumped out at me. He answered and said to it. Now, wait a minute. I'm making a point here. Jesus answered a fig tree. Where I grew up, trees don't talk. Think about it. They don't have a mouth. They don't have lips. They cannot form words. Trees don't talk. Now hold that thought just for a minute. If you read the rest of the account, he said to that tree, no man will ever eat fruit from you from now on. And the next day they passed by and that tree was dead from the roots up. One of the disciples called to remembrance and said, Master, behold, the fig tree that you cursed is withered away. And Jesus used it as an opportunity to teach them how faith works. But notice, Jesus spoke to a tree, listen to me carefully, that had no ears. Yet it heard his words and died. And we know that trees don't talk. Here's the point I want you to see. The circumstances of life speak to each and every one of us every day. Here's a question for you. How do you respond? How do you answer? Are you with me? You'll get up in the morning and feel a little pain in your leg, and that thing talks to you. You open your bank account, your bank book, and you look, and you get a bill in the mail. It starts talking to you, doesn't it? You ever done that? Well, I guess you're not going on vacation this year. Just when you thought you were getting ahead, here comes something to pull you back down. Listen, you need to respond to those things. Well, Pastor Bill, it doesn't make sense to talk to bills. It doesn't make sense to talk to pain. It doesn't make sense to, well, it doesn't make sense to talk to a fig tree either. But it works. Are you with me? Jesus answered and said to it, or he responded. I was with a man the other day, and he shared something with me. He said, every time I see this, here's what I hear. And I wanted to say to him so badly, well, what do you say in response? That's your faith talking. Many times the circumstances of life scream at us all day long and try to motivate us or push us down or get us to think in a way that's not proper. We need to respond with the Word of God. Amen? How do you answer? How do you respond? Well, that fig tree may have no ears, but it'll hear what you say. Amen. Those bills have no ears, but they will hear what you say. Are you with me? Those circumstances have no ears, but they will respond to what you say. And Jesus, using this illustration, told them, have faith in God. And then he turned and looked off in the distance and he said this, for whosoever shall say unto this mountain, mountains don't have ears, be removed, be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will come to pass. He'll have what he says. Mountains don't have ears, but they'll respond to your words. Have you ever thought about why a mountain will move because of words? Think about it. Ultimately, that mountain was created by words. God's word. It'll listen to you, and it will obey you. But here's what I want to leave you with. Faith comes by hearing. Remember, if you'll do what they did, say what they said, you'll have what they had. Very simple premise. Be followers. Be an imitator. Number two, faith is released with words. Your faith needs your voice. Here's something I heard a friend of mine say many years ago. If your faith's not talking, your faith's not working. Your faith needs your voice. If your faith's not talking, your faith's not working. You know, many years ago, I had a friend. We worked for the same insurance company. I'm going way back. And she was dealing with some difficult issues and circumstances. And granted, I'm not just teaching that you just say everything. Do what you need to do. God will kick in and do those things you can't do. Both of these women were facing impossible circumstances, yet God turned the situation around because of their faith. He'll do the same thing for you. And so this woman was really facing a difficult trial, and I could tell she had sort of given up and had just thrown it out there, and many people do the same thing, not realizing that they're not in faith, and just said, well, you know, I'm just whatever God wants. It's in His hands. No, it's not. It's in your mouth. So she said to me, I said, how are you doing? How are things going? She said, well, I'm just looking to the hills from whence cometh my help. You know, nice phrase. I don't remember which psalmist. Maybe it was David who said that in the Old Testament. And I just felt led to say this to her. I said, you can quit doing that. I got her attention just like I got some of yours just now. I said, you can quit doing that. And she looked at me. I said, look, God's not hiding out in the hills no more. You need to open your mouth and say something. God's already made provision for you. The answer has been paid for. You need to do something about it. Amen? Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing. And faith is released with words. If your faith's not talking, your faith's not working. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I talk a lot. My faith works. Would you stand with me, please?